If you get thirsty, McCade's got water for you. He is a thoughtful one. Tell us who you are and what qualifies you to be up here, which is that first question, your description of momhood. Like, what makes you... Yeah, there we go. Tommy.
Morning, friends. Is it on?
Yeah.
My name is Tommy Wheeler. I am a solo parent to Mackenzie, who's 21, and McCade, who is 14, after their stepdad passed away a few years ago. So I'm doing it solo.
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Colleen Prophet, and I have two adult children, five grandchildren, ages 16 to 28. And actually, a couple of the older ones recently got married, so I think I have seven grandchildren.
Very good. Edie?
Hi, I'm Edie. I am a mother to a two-year-old. His name's Felix. You probably have seen him around or heard him yelling and singing. I am also expecting our second child in October.
So. Woo! So you have the youngest one that's growing. Because the Diaz family just had theirs.
Yes.
Yes, and they're not here, right?
No.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Edie.
And I am Debbie Bryan. I wrote this all down because I forget things really easily. I have two daughters, 30 and 34, been married 18 years, divorced for 13 years. Then I married Reed, who's with me today. And I gained a stepson and a stepdaughter, and we have five grandchildren, and one was born this week.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. All right, because it's nerve-wracking to get up here, we're going to say hi to all these people, but we're going to say hi by names, and this is not a test. So everybody say hi, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Say hi, Edie.
Hi, Edie.
Say hi, Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
Now say hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Perfect. All right, if you've got a microphone, how about this? What's your favorite part of being a mom?
Oh, this is good. My greatest joy as a mother is watching my children develop into capable and compassionate human beings while exploring their own passions.
You ever think you'd see your youngest offspring with a microphone in front of a group of people?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, in front of a microphone, yes. Maybe not in front of a church, but he's rocking it, so.
Perfect, thanks. Colleen, favorite part of being a mom?
Well, my favorite part of being a mom was just spending time with our kids. We went camping and vacations, and I volunteered at their schools, and I especially enjoyed their teenage years.
Very good.
And are,
oh, not yet.
I'm can we tell favorite part of being a grandma?
Oh, please.
Oh,
if
okay.
If you're a grandma, favorite part
oh,
of being a grandma.
Grandchildren are just wonderful. And so when the oldest grandchild was five, we started doing grandparent-grandkid vacations, where we would take them for a week or so on a vacation. And we decided that when they graduated high school, we would take each one on a special vacation. Well, unfortunately, Grandpa died before the first one graduated, but she graduated in 2014. We've had four of those trips and one to go in 2026.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Anybody want to be adopted into Colleen's family? We got a couple of young people. Sorry, Jeremy. Edie, favorite part?
My favorite part is about being a mom, especially to Felix, is just to get to know him and get excited about his interests. And specifically right now, it's very much music. He bombards the stage every time they're practicing and really wants to shred on the guitar. And just getting to know him and being, help usher his interests, I guess. He's almost two.
Almost two. And he is one of the best parts about the Monday through Saturday when he comes tearing up to my office and knows exactly what he wants to get into there. Debbie, favorite part of being a mom?
Ooh, okay, so I did a lot of thinking about this one. And actually, I have to say, my favorite part is... I am a recovered alcoholic, and so watching our children raise our grandchildren and being present in their lives and teaching them about God.
Mm. That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, so let's flip it. The most challenging part of being a mom.
This one's easy for me. Being a mom is hardest when you can't fix your child's hurt. Mm. Whether physical or emotional, when you can't fix it, it's real hard.
So true. So true. Colleen, most challenging part?
Pretty much the same answer. When my children were having surgery or breaking bones or whatever, you just have to be there. Yeah. But it's hard not to be able to fix it for them.
Good. Edie?
I'm still new at this. The most challenging part for me is recognizing if I'm not taking care of myself, it's really hard to be the caregiver that that Felix needs. So taking time has been my struggle.
That's really good to learn this early on. I think there's a lot of moms that don't realize that until much later. So good. Debbie?
And watching them go through tough times, I think just the painful experiences and watching them have to learn their way through those, and also saying no is really tough, but it's really important to set healthy boundaries, and setting healthy boundaries is really, it's tough, but it's rewarding.
For sure, for sure. Now, at one point in each of your lives, did you get to go? You got to go. Yes. Sorry. Nope, you're good. James had a moment.
Oh.
I had a moment. You're good. At some point, that's why we should have a mom up here facilitating this. That would mess it up. At some point in your life, you found out, I'm going to be a mom, right? And then through that time, all the way as they're growing, what have been your prayers for your kids, your prayers and hopes for kids and or grandkids? Yeah, go for it.
My favorite prayer for my kids and grandkids, David prayed for his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles. Give my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments. And that's a prayer I have prayed for both the children and the grandchildren.
Very good. Very good. Tommy?
My hope for my children is that they grow up doing the things that they love while remembering who God is and letting his light shine through them.
Nice. Very good. Debbie? I know we're going out of order. I'm sorry.
My prayer is that all of our children and grandchildren get to know God and that they learn to rely on God.
Good. Great prayer. Edie?
Mine's pretty similar to Tommy's I think my goal is to just be there for him and make sure that he is reaching his goals and finding himself while also knowing that he is very much loved by me and his dad and God and this church. So just getting him through some of the hard times, just make sure that he can be who he's supposed to be in God's eyes.
Very good. Very good. Now, if you are whether watching, and these are your moms, or take notes here for this next question. Tommy, what does your ideal Mother's Day look like?
Well, May is a crazy month for us, especially as a teacher. My family always comes in for Bloomsday, so we usually celebrate the weekend before Mother's Day. So we started celebrating last weekend. And then on Friday this week, I went to prom with my students. I teach online high school, so I was in Puyallup, Washington on Friday night, dancing the night away with my students, which was amazing. And then yesterday was actually my birthday, so thank you. We had a lot of fun in Bellevue, and then we drove home, got here late last night. And then Monday is actually my mom's 75th birthday. And so my ideal Mother's Day always involves church, lunch with family, and a long nap.
That sounds fantastic. Happy birthday, and happy birthday tomorrow. Yes, she was your birthday present. Very good, very good. Colleen, your ideal Mother's Day.
Well, just the privilege of being a mother. I can remember vividly a Mother's Day in 1967. We were meeting in this little rented church down on Gardner and something Cannon. And I wanted to be a mother so badly, and it just wasn't happening. And I can just remember how sad I was. But God is good, and within a few years, He gave us two adopted babies. And so I've been celebrating Mother's Day, the ideal one, for 53 years now. Mm. And to add to that, both of my children are adopted, and they've both found biological siblings. So even the siblings will, like, send me. It's just great. You know, God is good. He's got a plan, and it's perfect.
Very good. Very good. Edie, your ideal Mother's Day.
As a toddler mom, a clean house sounds really great, but I know that's not really achievable right now. Additionally, just spending time with my son has always been super special, and just, spending the day probably going and picking dandelions or finding sticks and making them drumsticks and that's.
You said sticks.
Yeah, sticks.
Okay, I thought you said snakes.
No.
Sticks.
No.
Finding sticks to make
sticks.
Into drumsticks.
Yeah.
You have a boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll find a snake eventually, I'm sure.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds.
And then nap.
And then a nap.
Yeah.
Okay?
Please.
Yep. Trevor, I know you're downstairs, but if you can hear this, you'd like a nap. Debbie.
I am one of those that I don't like gifts. I don't need gifts or really want gifts. I just want to hear from my kids. And time with them is so important. So that's what all I want for Mother's Day is just seeing or hearing from my kids.
Very good. All right, we're going to shift in from those were kind of easier questions. We're going to shift into a little bit more challenging ones. Have you ever thought of God with mothering character traits or qualities? Tommy.
No. No, I'm just kidding. No. Initially, I didn't consider God as having motherly characteristics. I always have thought of Him as a father, that father role. But I was led to Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murderer of prophets, killer of the one who brought good news. How often I've ached to embrace your children the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you won't let me. Have you guys ever seen a hen gathering chicks? It's a little bit easier than herding cats, but not much. But it's so precious. Okay, I'm one that goes to, like, North 40 and looks at the chicks every year. But it's just so precious to see, like, how literally under her wing, and that's God is our nurturing hen. He's fiercely protective and unconditionally loving, and that's how I view God, and thank you for the verse.
You're welcome. That's really good. It just comes to life. Colleen?
Well, I chose the same. There's in
good.
Mark and in Luke,
yeah,
when
good.
Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, and He wants us to feel sheltered by His wings, is how I interpreted that verse.
Yeah, absolutely. Edie?
Oftentimes, I think about this and trust that God is going to equip His creation to do as... specifically for me as a mom, I need to trust that God's going to equip me to be the best mom I can for my son and eventually Mabel. But I think about this, and I know that in Scripture, God is just giving us the ways to be a good mom. And a lot of times I find myself being encouraged by how the Holy Spirit is moving within people's hearts, or how the Holy Spirit is leading God's people. That's usually my comfort.
Yeah, very good, very good. And if you did not know, oftentimes in Scripture, when the authors are referencing the Holy Spirit, it is with a feminine pronoun. So that's powerful. Yeah, Debbie.
Oh boy, I found tons of traits. God is faithful. And 1 Corinthians 4:9, God is faithful. He's strength and protector, which I think mothers are strength and protectors, which is Psalms 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Disciplines us and our children. Proverbs 3, verses 12, the Lord disciplines those he loves. There's encouragement, and I didn't write down the Bible verse for that. Endurance, Psalms 112, verse 9, God's righteousness endures forever. Unselfishness, Romans 15, verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other. And then acceptance, Romans 15, verse 7, accept one another as Christ accepted you.
That's good. Which kind of leads to the next question of, as you're reading, whether it's our daily Bible in a year readings or just scripture in general, how does being a mom affect the way you read? Like what lens, does it change the lens in which you read scripture?
When reading the daily verses, mothering can literally get in the way. I definitely like it going through the radio and talking to me. That is so much easier for me than to sit down and read. So I love book like it on tape or just plan. We can do our daily verses in the car. It's amazing. But when I do get to read and sit down, I really strive to understand the events from God's perspective, using his unconditional compassion, trying to make sense of why and how and all the things. I just really try to focus on that compassion piece. Like, his compassion is unmatched, and it's just amazing.
Very good. Colleen?
Well, I might have misinterpreted the question, but...
What? However you answer, it's going to be perfect.
When I was reading 1 Samuel 1:10, I really related to Hannah, who really wanted a child, and it wasn't happening for her either. And she was deeply distressed, and she prayed bitterly to God, and God gave her Samuel.
Yeah, so often the stories in Scripture, I mean, there were so many women in Scripture that could not have children that I think God could very much relate to that feeling. So, good. Edie.
Sorry, I was remembering the question.
Question again.
So sorry.
How does being a mom affect the lens in which you read Scripture?
Oh, man. I oftentimes find that it's difficult to sit down and read. So a lot of times I have it on audio, like an audio book, audio Bible. And that's really helpful for me because I'm listening and hearing that kind of wash over me. But additionally, when you're reading it and trying to find ways that it's applicable to you, for not only your personal life, you kind of find ways that it can be encouraging for your motherhood, and finding ways that you also want to instill this into your child when he can't read yet. So finding ways to kind of utilize scripture to help him learn as well.
Very good. And Debbie?
So daily reading, how does it affect me as a mother? I quit drinking about 9 years ago. And what I find, my husband and I are doing the Bible in a year, and we're absolutely loving it. We're going to do it every year. I'm blown away with how many scriptures are in there that really talk about our Father as a loving God who loves us, and how we should be as parents. And so I see, like, I need to turn away from sin. As a mother, I need to be a Christ-like role model for my family and my children and my grandchildren. And I need to also put my faith and trust in God and not money or today's problems.
That sounds really good. Really good. All right. You mentioned Bible in a year. We are doing a Bible in a year, and each Sunday, whatever some of the readings are on, the person who stands in the front gets to pontificate on them, gets to preach on them. The proverb for today was Proverbs 15:4. Unless you're a day ahead, then it's a different one. But the one that it is in the book I'm reading is Proverbs 15:4, and it says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Now, this one requires a little bit of risk and vulnerability, and just go as deep as you want. Share one success story of gentle words in your mothering, and if you are willing, share a time where you messed up and perhaps crushed the spirit. Tommy.
I have to go first on this one. This one, I was like, nope, I'm out. No. I'm going to start with the bad first, because that's how I roll. So, they say that you're the harshest towards the people you love the most, because they can handle it, they know you, they know your quirks, they know your anxiety, they know all that. But one day, recently, I was making fun of McCade for something, I don't even remember what. It's kind of a little banter we have, and I called him a few names. Well, I didn't know he was on speakerphone. With his friends. And one of the girls literally said, "My mom would never," and I'm like, dang it, she's right. Okay. So I sat on it for a few hours because I was like, I was feeling guilty. I was like, right, why do I do that? It's not, you know, not nice. And so later I did sit down and we talked about it and I apologized. And he said, "You would never say it to somebody else." Yeah, you're right, I wouldn't. So I'm definitely working on it, but that was a big wake up call. On the positive side, I have lots of baby chicks. I work at Finch Elementary doing crossing guard. I teach online high school. I love helping in the children's church. Children are my passion, for sure. And so if it's a crosser, Wednesdays, I'm always like, just think at the end of the day, you're halfway through the week, you know, just little encouragement, even if it's just small. Maybe it's for me, maybe it's for them, I don't know, but I try. One thing is I also did ASB. And during ASB, I would teach like the main five, and each class had a representative, and they would go and tell like what the meeting was about to their classroom. So one week, we were working on compassion, and what I had them do is take a piece of paper and crumple it. Just crumple it. And that's what it's like when we talk. The words we say, the meanness, the harshness, it's there. And we can say sorry. We can absolutely say sorry and apologize and all of that. But look at the paper. It's still wrinkled. It will never be the same by those harsh words. And so I had these ASB representatives take paper to their classroom and teach every single kid in the school about how words can affect no matter what. Sorry doesn't make it better. And so that's just something, I'm that crazy auntie to all my friends' kids. I love them, I'm proud of them, I try to encourage them in every way. And so that's how I live.
That's fantastic.
Thanks.
Great analogy. Very good. Okay, Colleen, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A success, and perhaps, if willing, a time you fell short of that.
Well, I fell short most of my children's growing up years, unfortunately, and I didn't always use gentle words. I was a yeller at times. However, God is good, and over time and with his help, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever yelled at any of my grandchildren.
That's fantastic. No, well, I was just, as you were saying that, I'm like, well, I bet God works on us so the next time around, we do it better. And then you said that. Yeah, very good. Kids, your grandkids are going to be amazing for Tommy. Edie, gentle words are a tree of life, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A success story and perhaps a time you fell short with that.
Similar to Tommy, I'm going to start with my vulnerable moment. And again, my son is almost two, and he is very busy. He likes to get into things, likes to explore, and oftentimes he goes for the danger. So my job is to keep him safe. And when there are moments that it's been reiterated, hey, buddy, you can't play with that cord. it becomes repetitive in my mind, and I get more and more anxious and frustrated because I'm trying to tell you, hey, this is unsafe, please stop. But as soon as I break and I raise my voice, he breaks down, of course, because he sees that I'm upset and doesn't quite understand why I'm so upset. And it's heartbreaking, like you said, because he's like, what's going on? And he's crying. And so I, comforting him of like, I'm sorry I got upset, but this is, I need to keep you safe. And it's just hard. Additionally, right now, using gentle words is so crucial because he's developing those language skills, and I want him to be equipped with words that I would want him to say to himself when if he's upset. Okay, let's take some deep breaths. Let's work this out. Or it just kind of speaking affirmations over him so that he knows how loved he is, or whatever that might be, and giving him those tools. Because, yeah, I have bad self-talk, and I don't want that for my child. So I need to work on how I'm speaking to myself and to him so that he can have better skills than I do.
You bring up something interesting there, the self-talk. So this isn't always just outward, the words, but inward. Gentle words are a tree of life, inwardly. And yeah. You have the potential to crush your own spirit inwardly. Thank you. That's good. Debbie, let me read the proverb again, just in case. Gentle words are a tree of life, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Success and perhaps growing edge.
So I had one that came to mind right away, and it's one I am definitely not proud of. But it ended up turning out okay when my youngest daughter, Jen, was about 4 or 5 years old. She left a box of crayons in the car, a hot car, and sat down. And as we're going into the restaurant that night, I see all this stuff on her bottom and realize it's crayons. And at the time, the marriage I was in was very controlling. And I knew I was going to catch heck for what was going on and this stain in the car. And so we got back to the house, and I made my little daughter stand next to me, and I'm taking WD-40 and trying to get the colors out, and I'm getting madder and madder, and her shoulders are like going lower and lower and lower, and her head's getting heavier, and I realized that this is just an object. It's just a car. And I looked at her and I said, wow. I said, God painted a rainbow. And the irony of it was, about 10 years later, her sister, older sister, was talking about getting my car. She goes, I don't want a car with a rainbow in the back seat. And I'm like, oh, really? I go, well, okay, that's fine. You can buy your own car. And it was funny how she decided to take the car with the rainbow in the back seat. But I just, you know, when I changed it into this godly rainbow in the back seat of the car, my daughter's shoulders started to come up and her head started to come up. I said, it's okay, it's just a car. It's just a material item. And good was gently reminding my daughters. It's kind of funny, my husband and I have this, my mother-in-law, all my sister-in-laws and everybody went out and got Mama Says tattooed on them when my mother-in-law passed away, because Mom always said these things, Mama Says, Mama Says. And now my husband will tell you that I tell the grandchildren it's time for a nap, so they're all going to get time for a nap tattooed on their arms. But my daughters, I really, when they were in college, both of them really struggled with school, and I was able to constantly remind them God's in control. God's in control. And so my daughter did not get into her dental hygiene program 2 different quarters. And what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I said, just put it in God's hands. And she's a dental hygiene, she's a registered dietitian now, just absolutely loves it. And then my other daughter was a teacher, and she kept failing her praxises. And And I just, you know, I just kept praying for her. And again, God is in control. And she passed it, and she's a great teacher now and loves it. So just reminding them who's in control.
Yeah, very good. Very good. All right, with this Bible in a Year series, we're asking a question every single day that we read. Where's Jesus in it? In this proverb, where do you see Jesus? Again, the proverb's gentle words are a tree of life, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Tommy, and this is the last question.
Yay.
No amen.
I feel that God's love is a lot like a mother's love. You know, the thousands of little notes and reminders you leave for your kids, praying they do the laundry correctly, there's no pink or left in the washer. That's his pet peeve. But I just feel like it's, we're always reminding our kids constantly, just like you, like, that's unsafe, that's unsafe. We're constantly doing those reminders as mothers. And I feel like that's what Proverbs is that gentle reminder. We have our Ten Commandments. We know, but we don't remember. We don't pull it in all the time. And so I think Proverbs is really good with that. Just those little gentle reminders that every mother needs once in a while, or every person needs once in a while, to do the right thing and to just remind us of how we should be living our life.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Colleen?
Well, Jesus wants us to follow him, and he pretty much spoke lovingly and kindly to everyone he encountered. So we should too.
Yeah, he was firm at times, but there was still a gentleness in that. Yeah, good. Good. Edie?
I was going to have a very similar answer of Jesus always spoke truth, but in a very loving way. And I think that we need to tailor our conversations and our vocabulary or affirmations similarly, that we can speak truth and it can be spoken kindly. It's just a matter of being intentional.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. And Debbie?
Proverbs 15, verse 4, unconditional love, forgiveness, Jesus builds us up and not tears us down, and lovingly guides us.
That is fantastic. You guys will, my guess, take at least one thing away from something somebody said today. And that's been the beauty and the richness of this. It's not just one person up here talking, but you're going to connect to something someone said, and I am grateful for that. So here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to give you a standing applause, and we're going to be standing because we're going to sing one more song, but that's not why we're doing a standing applause. Okay, so Debbie, Colleen, Edie, Tommy, thank you guys deeply. Thank you for being the best Mother's Day rememberable sermon ever. Cool, let's give them a standing applause. Keep going. Let me pray while Tim gets his guitar on his shoulders. Lord, thank you for these moms that had courage enough today to step in front of us and to share their hearts. I thank you for the moms that we have in our lives, whether they're still with us, whether they were ideal moms or not. I thank you that through Scripture you demonstrate that you have mothering characters and qualities as well, characteristics and qualities as well. Lord, help us learn from both Scripture and the moms that sat up here today. Thank you again for them and their courage. In Jesus' name, amen.